Good evening, everyone. We're on page number 62, chapter 28, lesson 19 in the book. Page 62 in the book, and question number 10 is what we are ready for. We are, as our custom has been, we read part of the chapter, but I think we read through verse 16 last week, so we'll read 17 through the end of the chapter, and then hopefully we'll be able to make it through the questions tonight. Does anyone want to volunteer to read? All right, thank you. 17. Verse 17.
And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything to which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound for this chain." Then they said to him, "We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, or concerning this sect. We know that it is spoken against everywhere." So when they had appointed him a day, he came to him in his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some believed. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no one
forbidding. All right, thank you for reading that. Question number 10 in the lesson book is, who was Paul with at all times, even though that he was not with the other prisoners? Yep, he had a soldier that was assigned to him. Who did Paul call together after 3 days?
Chief of the Jews.
Yep. Chief of the Jews, verse 17. This, to me, this is significant. It's significant that Paul is able to have this freedom. And we'll see later on in the chapter, he has even, it seems, maybe perhaps even greater freedom. And but yet still under bonds, or still under the chains of the law, so to speak.
You may go ahead. You may disagree with me on this, but that tells me by inference that there were those that, once they had contacted Paul and saw what he was about and everything, actually believed. Now, they may have not done anything about it, but they actually believe his
conduct. Yes, I don't disagree with that. We think about the events that have just transpired. They He's told them what's going to happen before they leave. They said, we believe the owner of the ship more than you. They get in trouble with the weather the whole way. They get held back. They keep getting into the worst part of the year to travel because of the delays. And so they bounce around the sea. And then they make it to the Fair Havens. And they're like, well, we can't stay here for winter. But it's just not, we just can't do it. It's just not an area where you can stay for the winter time. And so the wind blows softly, and so they take to the sea, and then here they go again. They have to just let it go. They have to let the boat go. And then they end up at a place of the island of Malta, and where they are treated very well by the local people. And lots of good things have happened while they're there. Publius's father has been made well, and then we have many of the others that were sick at the on the island that was made well. And so, let me back up one event before the crashing on Melita's Malta, whichever translation you're looking at. He told them, lest they stay in the ship, you're going to perish, and they're in the middle of a storm, is trying to tear the boat apart, and they got anchors in the water, so it's not good, not a good situation. But also remember that he tells them that God has told him they're going to make this is what's going to happen. Now he's planted the seed, which has been really it's been sown the whole time, planted the seed that God's going to take care, and then a few minutes later, hours, whatever the time frame is, they see this when the boat sticks in the bottom and is torn apart, and then their own pieces of the boat getting to the land of the ship, and they make it to the island, and then they see that happening, that what he said came true. But prior in that trip, if they had listened to Paul, also what he told them earlier came true. And then when they get on the island, they see, as we studied last week, he's putting wood in the fire, and the viper latches on him. He gets a hold of him, and they say he's not harmed. He doesn't even swell up. And he should have swelled up and died, having such a venomous beast, using King James words, of what should have happened to him. And they have witnessed all these things. I can say that now that they went from Miletus or Malta on to Rome, where they're at right at this point in the story, I'd say there's some trust built up. I'd say there's a little bit of trust there. A lot. Next page, question number 11. Of what was Paul not guilty?
They wanted to, when they talked to the Romans and the Roman officials, they wanted to sound like he was committing treason to Rome.
Yep. And he'd committed nothing against, no such thing. And why had Paul appealed to Caesar?
Because there were those who tried to influence it so that even though he wasn't guilty of anything, he would still be taken to task under the law.
Yep. It's kind of like they forced his hand. They forced his hand. You're going to Caesar to get this. You got to go to get straightened out because we're in a kangaroo court, so to speak. Because any of those prefects and governors and kings and so forth he had been before, they could have ended this. They had the authority, but they didn't. And so here it goes. When he appeals to Caesar, they're like, well, we got to let him go. We got to let him go to Caesar because he has appealed. But it's because of the Jews' objection and their false accusations, that forced Paul's hand to make this happen. Number 12 is, what was the hope of Israel for which Paul was bound?
They would hear the gospel.
Yep, that they would hear the gospel. In another place, he talks about how that they might be saved. He's concerned about his own countrymen. Whenever you study as we have studied in the book of Acts, as well as in some of the other letters as well, what we see when they talk about Paul, what's one of the things that he does when he goes to a city that has Jews?
Pray. first thing we do is go to the synagogue and teach.
Goes to the synagogue and teaches, yeah, because that's where his own people are. And they're the ones that should be the easiest believers are the ones that reject it the most. Number 13, what is the sect to which the Jews referred?
Christians in the church.
What does the word sect mean? It's a simple definition. It's a body of men following their own tenets, according to Thayer's Bible Dictionary. Think about that. It makes sense. You had the sect of the Pharisees. They had their own belief system. You had the sect of the Sadducees. They had their own belief system. Then you had the Jews. They had their own belief system. It wasn't necessarily lined up with Scripture, any of these three groups. And then you had the group of, that we studied in the book of Acts, you had the group of the Greeks and the philosophy believers. And then you had, Christians could even be thrown in this category too. A sect of people. But the difference in this is who they are following. The Christians are trying to follow the teachings of Christ. What were the contents of Paul's preaching to the Jews?
The kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God, yep. And what else?
Well, you can't preach hell without preaching Christ and crucified.
Yep. And to me, this is where it's interesting. Where did he preach it out of? Or what did he preach it out of?
The law and the prophets.
Now that to me, that's significant, as we've talked about in the past a little bit. That's significant because that shows, or this was the best method Paul could have used to be able to convert the Jews, be able to get them to see what they needed to see, to open their eyes, is to do it from the perspective of Moses and the prophets, because they all pointed to Christ. As we've seen Timothy at different times over the years point out Old Testament scriptures that and prophecies that pointed to Christ. You cannot help but read the book of Isaiah. Back to the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. You can't help but read the book of Isaiah and get an understanding that it's pointing to Christ. It's prophesying of Christ. Go ahead.
How in such high regard they helped David and the Psalms. And you and Tim both in the last few months have preached several sermons concerning some of the things that were said in the Psalms talking about Christ.
Yep. Point to him. Jesus is the focal point. Whenever we have preaching or churches, congregations that don't have Christ as the focal point, they're going to miss the mark. They're going to miss it. Sometimes I wonder if we tie it enough to Christ in lessons and things as much as we should, because that's who it's about. It's not about us. It's not about this congregation. It's about Christ. And whenever Jesus said in the book of John, if I be lifted up from the earth, what would happen?
Draw all
men unto me. So it's him we hold up to bring people to Christ. And so that's what we must be about. And notice that Paul, in all these situations we've seen through the book of Acts, this is what he's been doing. How many times have we seen that he preached the kingdom of God, or he preached, preached Christ and him crucified, or he preached the gospel of Christ. It was all about him, and this is no exception here. He used the old law to show them that Christ was the one. So what was the result of this, number 14?
Well, compared to today, some people listen and hear, and some people ignore it. The words have come to them, but they ignore it.
Yep. Some believe, some did not. Because of this, He brings in the prophet, or a quote from the Old Testament prophecy, from Isaiah the prophet. Well, evidently I wrote down the wrong verse.
It's like Naaman. When he was told what he had to do to cure his leprosy, he said, "The whole life thought." And that's a very profound statement, because sometimes when people are taught and they hear the gospel, they won't say, well, they don't use the words, but that's what it is. The whole life thought it was going to be like this, and therefore I don't have to accept what God said.
Which is the wrong mode of thinking all the way around. Verse 26, saying unto this people, talking about what the Holy Spirit said by Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, verse 26, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So this verse explains it, explains what's going on. Some believe, some would not. Why? Because they stopped their ears, they won't let it in their hearts. They put it up there. I guess I just answered question 15, didn't I? What was the main reason for their lack of understanding? Yep. What's this idea of waxing gross, it says in the King James? Something that's not good, something detestable, isn't it? Something that's detestable. They have changed their heart in such a way, put a wax over it to where it cannot be penetrated. There's the idea that Paul presents in the letters to the churches, in one of the letters to the churches, where he talks about the circumcision of the heart. And that's an important concept about the circumcision of the heart. It's cutting away, getting rid of the excess or the bad things of the heart. You pull the outside off so that you can get to the inside. Cut it away. And as we've been reading through the scripture on Sunday night, and you know, talking in Exodus, talking about Pharaoh, what was one of the problems with Pharaoh? What did he do to his heart? He hardened it. And notice that he listened, it seemed, at times, from about plague number two on. But then he would harden his heart, he says, and then he would, then he'd go back. He'd go back. He just couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. I wondered if some of these people were kind of like that too. They just couldn't do it. Number 16, who did Paul say would hear and receive salvation? The Gentiles. Why?
Because they were willing to hear.
That's right. Yep, the heart was open. They're ready to hear, ready to see. They was ready for it. Question number 17 is, how long was Paul a prisoner in his own hired house?
2 years.
2 years. How did he spend this time?
Preaching
the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Notice that the adjective is put in there, Lord. We don't always see that, so there's an emphasis there. Lord Jesus Christ. And yes. No. He was allowed to do this. See, he's back at his hired. The way it tells us here in the scripture that it was his own hired house. That's the way it's spoken of here. His own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerning the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, People will work this way today, believe it or not. Maybe not as easily in this country, but there are spots in our country to where I hear stories about people that's teaching in much the same way. People come to them to hear the word. Don't say it's unheard of. We have it in our own congregation. Come and see. If you remember, we have a member here that's what happened. They came and saw. They really didn't. I don't think they received an invitation from anybody here. But they were looking and seeking and come, you know, and found this place. And then they found the Lord. Otherwise, they would have probably gone on somewhere else. When I was in Tanzania, and Diane was with me, she was, let's just say she was, with her lungs, she was in worse shape then than she is now, believe it or not. So there was an issue with walking up and down hills, you know, and walking up and down this, that, and the other. And, you know, in the place we was at in El Carre, which is called, some know it as the White Rose, and that's kind of the northern side of Arusha, and very popular. It's a growing area. So, interesting thing, I got to be the first one to speak at the new building on one of the trips. They built a new building just because they were just kind of meeting in a yard before that. But anyway, so because of that, I decided that she was going to stay at church building. Just set at the church building in the yard, part-time sit on the side of the street in a chair. You know what happened while she was there?
Somebody probably came along and helped.
It wasn't just one or two, it was a bunch. They were so some of the Tanzanians go out and get people, bring them in. Hey, come listen. So she always had a Bible study and an audience there with women and so forth coming up. So sometimes people are ready and willing. And when I was reading through this, I thought of that story. It's like, didn't have to get up and go find people. They came to her because of what someone told them, or, hey, you need to come hear the gospel preached, and then she'd give them those lessons and so forth. So whenever you, because Paul was bound, he couldn't leave the place. That did not stop him from having people come and to hear the gospel preached. One of my acquaintances from a long time ago now, it lives out in Elk City, Oklahoma. I think it's Elk City. And anyway, I can't remember the name of the church. We got acquainted on a trip. And so me stupidly said, oh, this must be a high, you know, getting to do Bible studies all day long, all, you know, day after day after day. And he's like, no, not really. So I'm thinking, what? Then he proceeded to tell me, I thought he was a preacher. He was not the preacher. He was the evangelist for this congregation. And he said, I have X amount of, I think he said he had 27 students, people that came to, that members of the church brought to the building. And he had 27 ongoing Bible studies weekly. That was his full-time job, was just doing that, doing Bible studies. So there are places in this country, our country, where people are hungry and ready to hear the word. What we have done is we've let people tell us that it can't be done. And we've believed them. That's the problem, we believed them. And I'm not for sure they're right. So I would love to see someday that we had to hire somebody to come here and sit and do Bible studies all day. Wouldn't that be a great thing? It'd be a great thing. It would happen. When I read this story, that's the kind of things I'm kind of thinking about. It's like, what a glorious thing it must have been to have people come to you wanting to hear the gospel. Now, I would say that the vast majority of the people that came to him where he was at probably were interested as much as curious. So I would think that his success rate was probably pretty good. Now let's do the last question here before we run out of time. I guess we've got plenty of time. What were the results of Paul's preaching while at Rome? Then it references Philippians 1, verse 12 and 13, Philippians 4, verse 22. So, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it says in this passage, I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Excuse me. Now let's go to chapter 4 and verse 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Now then, with that in mind, let's answer the question. That's it.
And when you think about it, when God told Paul he would go to Rome, Paul understood that his mission was to preach, and the fact that he got to preach to people in Caesar's household and convert them is, to me, very meaningful. That no matter how far up the ladder you go or how low down on the ladder you are, which are, there are always people that can be converted.
That's right. This is one of the many examples that, well, is this a third or fourth example of where we see somebody in a high place that Paul is trying to convert? Now, the fact of what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22 makes me think he had success in Caesar's household. Servants, whoever it was, perhaps Caesar himself, whatever, he was able to convert them. He didn't give up on them. That's why I'm so enamored, interested, or have been, in the Robert and Phil Robertson. Even though I'll side note it here with, we're not going to see eye to eye on 100% of the things. I think they have a couple of incorrect interpretations of the scripture, and I don't understand why they have those. To be so straight down the road on almost everything, and then the two little issues, they're off in left field, and they have a twisted way of explaining it, doesn't make sense to me, especially when in the past, distant past, they didn't believe it that way. But anyway, one of the things that I find interesting about him is whenever he goes to a senator, whoever, the president of the United States, he tries to teach them the gospel. And when we get into the book of Romans, chapter 6, I will share with you the little stick diagram that he uses, which is a lot more basic than the one I've used for years and years. But it's interesting that we have the same type ideas on that passage. But anyway, the point being is anybody he talks to, you watch a phone or a interview on TV, you know what the message is right now? That he hammers on everybody, doesn't matter who it is, CNN, Fox, Blaze TV, it doesn't matter who it is interviewing. You know what he's hammering on right now? Repentance. If America doesn't repent, it's going to fall, and he'll tell you why. He'll go read scriptures and tell you why. A voice in the wilderness. And I look at that and think, why aren't we stronger, more outspoken like that? And I think part of it is because we've let them beat us down mentally, tell us that we need to shut up and sit down instead of standing up and being counted. Because that is the message America needs to hear. It needs to hear that it needs to repent. If you don't repent, you're not going to make it off planet Earth alive. That's what he says. And he's right. You're not going to get to go to eternal life if you don't repent. Anyway, Let's match the following here on page 63. First one, Publius. Yep, based on verse number 7. Father. Yeah, A, letter A, based on number verse number 8. The ship or ship. Yep. Yep, based on verse number 11. Paul. All right. Was accused. This just says murderer, but he was accused of being a murderer, based on verse 4. Then Paul again. Yep. Yep, called the chief of the Jews, another accusation that he is not, based on verse 17. And then the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. Yep, spake by Isaiah, the prophet, based on verse number 25. True or false? I thought these were easier true false than what we normally get. maybe I'm deceived. Paul was sick with a bloody flux after the viper bit him.
Oh.
False. He wasn't sick. Verse number 6 will correct that for us. Paul performed only one miracle while on the island.
That's false.
That's false. Verse number 9, many brought their sick to him to be healed. The barbarous people provided them with necessities for their voyage.
True.
Verse number 10. They gave them things, provisions for their trip. Number 4, all the Jews that Paul addressed in Rome were Christians. False. Been no need to be there otherwise, would it? The Jews had received letters from Judea about Paul. False. Number 21, verse 21. Paul had some things which he desired to accuse his nation. False. Number 9, verse number 19, he's saying he had nothing to accuse them of. Number 7, the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost spoke directly to all people during the days of the prophets. False. He spoke directly to all people. He didn't speak directly to all people. He spoke directly to the prophets. Yep, so that one's false. Verse 25. I guess that was the tricky one there. Yeah, because if he'd spoke directly to all people, then there'd been no need for the prophets. Question number 8, the language of verse 26, 27 is found elsewhere in the New Testament. What did you say? This is a search question. The answer is true. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, we have Jesus Christ quoting the same passage. Yes, ma'am. Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. The same passage is quoted by Jesus himself. This prophetic passage is one that we don't want to fall into. We don't want to be the ones that have our ears stopped, our hearts wax gross, and not see with our eyes and not hear with our ears. And not be converted. We don't want to be like the people described there, but we know that people will be that way just because people are people.
You know, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 8 says, God will not hear because of people's sin.
That's right. Sin will separate us from God. And lead us to what Isaiah prophesied of and was talking about. Does anyone have any questions or comments over what we've discussed tonight? All right.